Brethren, to continue on with the subject that our brother Chuck had before us about the hatred of the world, we look at a passage in 1 Samuel. There are two things that are very real in this world. One is the love of Christ. The other is the hatred of the world. It's real. You know, why did they dislike Simon Peter? Because he was in association with Jesus of Nazareth. Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. And they didn't like Peter because of that. If others know that we're in any way identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, they also will not like you. The world will hate you because you're not of the world. And you see this exemplified in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the end of verse 13. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Why did Saul hate David? What did David ever do against Saul? He did him well. He fought the Philistine, delivered the nation when everyone else was afraid. He played the harp for Saul, didn't he? And yet, Saul scarcely knew him and hated him. A little further on, David tells Jonathan, you know, there's only a step between me and death. And Jonathan says, no, it can't be. It can't be. If my father, Saul, hated you, he would tell me, wouldn't he? He said, no. But Jonathan could hardly believe that his father would hate David without any cause. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ himself had to say. They hated me without a cause. At this point in David's life, he could say, what have I done, Jonathan? If I've done anything wrong, you take your sword and slay me yourself. Later on, David couldn't say that because he had grievously sinned. But at this point of David's life, he was walking with the Lord, and he could say words like that. Such was his confidence in Jonathan. But sure enough, it came to pass that when Jonathan sought to defend his friend David, why, his own father would cast a javelin at Jonathan to slay him against the wall. Then he knew that it was true. You know, we see hatred today, don't we, brethren? Those who hate one another, that's our natural estate, hateful and hating one another, according to Romans 1. But we even see it directed towards a people who are in any way identified with the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the Jewish people. In that 12th chapter of Revelation, we see that Satan primarily has his animosity towards the man-child. But that man-child is born and caught up to heaven. And at the end of the chapter, you see that he directs his hatred then towards the remnant of her seed. I realize it points forward to another day when there will be a godly remnant raised up. But today, these Arab factions, which are odds with one another, they're united in their hatred towards the Jewish people because they're in any way identified with the man child who came into this world, our Savior. Now the Lord had said, if the world hate me, it will hate you. We should be prepared, brethren, to face the animosity and the hatred of this world. We can perhaps hide our candle under a bushel or under a bed and not let our light shine for the Lord. But is he not worthy? You know, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he's the all-powerful one. He has all power. He can do anything. But as the Lamb, he's the worthy one. He's worthy of our homage, brethren. Look what he's done for us. What have we done for him? Humbles us when we think how little we do for the Lord, you know? And yet he's done everything for us. I believe that's what caused Peter to go out and weep bitterly, because he realized, I really love the Lord, but I denied him 3 times. The Lord doesn't reject us, does he, brethren? He privately restored Peter, and then publicly in the 21st chapter of John before his brethren. Don't we thank God for restoring grace, that he didn't give up on us the first time we failed him? The Lord is so gracious with us. He bears with us. Those of us who are parents, he gives us an example, doesn't it, as to how we ought to bring up our children. Are we gracious and kind towards our children? Remember, pardon a personal illustration, but most of you probably don't know my parents. But they're in the meeting. Grandparents were in the meeting. And my dad wasn't a great student of the word, but one thing came through in his life. He loved the Lord. And parents, it's not so much what you tell your children as how you live before your children. That's what your children see. They know if you're real or if you're just faking it. And if you're real before the Lord, you love the Lord, your children are going to follow you in the path of the Lord. And if you're just going on with a vain show, our children detect that too. We can perhaps fool our brethren, but we can't fool our children. But the Lord is so worthy. The world may hate us, but as I said, the other thing that is true is this, the love of Christ. That ever remains the same. Let us never doubt the love of Christ for us in anything we do. That's what gives us confidence, the fact that, well, maybe my brethren don't understand me, but the Lord understands and he loves us. We had the scripture this morning in John 15, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Our brother Jim emphasized that. Even as I have loved you. You know, there's a brother in the meeting and they said, boy, he's a hard one to get along with. You ever pray to the Lord? Lord, help me to love that brother as you love me. It's quite a prayer, isn't it? To love our brethren even as the Lord loves us. It's possible. We should love one another with that intense love, brethren, because the world certainly does not love us. If you follow with the Lord, you're not going to get any encouragement from the world. But we've had 3 days of happy fellowship and the Word of God brought before us to remind us that these things are real, that the world will hate us and will display that hatred, and increasingly so as the coming of the Lord draws near. May we be drawn the rather closer to the side of the one who is so worthy, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, thou art.